House Bill 1075, an act to provide for a bank's investment limitations. Gee, everybody came for the last bill. On the motion?
On who seconded it?
Galinsky. She looks guilty. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might introduce the bill from here.
Go ahead.
First of all, we have an amendment that is in the process of being circulated to you, which is I would consider a friendly amendment. Would you like to take that up now?
Excuse me. Does everyone have a copy of this amendment? Okay. I would, for purpose of discussion, I would entertain a motion to approve the or to move the amendment. Motion by Brown, seconded by Peterson. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make my remarks quite brief because I have some other people here to testify. But and then at the end, if I might have a minute or two to just kind of sum things up. But
minute.
Just a little bit of background as far as the banking industry is concerned. Banks are pretty highly regulated businesses, highly regulated industry, and you don't just go into a community and say I'm going to start a bank and do it. You do it. With the blessings of someone who is issues a charter. And a charter, of course, is issued on the basis of demonstrating a need for a financial institution, and the financial institution in return acknowledges some responsibilities that they have to serve the community. And of course, the two primary chartering bodies. There's the Comptroller of Currency, which charters national banks, sometimes called the National Banking Department. And then we have state banks that are chartered by the state supervisor of banks. And they basically do the same things. They compete for the same customers and are basically subjected to the same requirements, restrictions, and regulations. We have what's called a Community Redevelopment Act, and this came into being in the 90s, and it was developed to address supposedly a need to encourage banks, financial institutions, to reinvest some of their profit back into things that were considered to be beneficial to society. And the whole purpose of this bill is to recognize the and put in place the same set of requirements as far as the state chartered banks as apply to national banks. With that, I have testimony from South Dakota Bankers Association that I would welcome.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Good morning, members of the House Commerce Committee. My name is Tom Adam. I'm an attorney. I'm here on behalf of the South Dakota Bankers Association. We typically are represented by Bob Sutton, its executive vice president, and by one of my partners, Brent Wilbur. It is my turn in the barrel, so to speak, to discuss this bill with you. This bill is not as interesting as the one you just finished, but it is really...
That's good.
It is...
Are you sure?
Well, so far... It is, I think, of equal importance. As Representative Hansen explained to you, we do have a dual banking system in this country. We've had it since Alexander Hamilton was fighting duels with other people on the East Coast. The systems try to maintain a parity one with the other. In 1993, the Federal Congress passed a law which made banks become active with their resources in their community. It was called the Community Reinvestment or Redevelopment Act. We, in fact, were examined and we were checked on our ability to participate in social issues that were in our communities with reference to all of our census and all the population factors. typical government one-size-fit-all. Since that time, Uncle Sam has recognized that there is a difference in the size of the bank in Blount and Citibank. And as a consequence of that, it has suggested that if you are a bank of $250 million in assets or more, you have a greater social obligation in participating with reference to the Community Reinvestment Act. Recognizing again that your ability to participate in social issues to some extent depends upon your location, it has told the banking community that it can participate by buying appropriate investments, investments being sold by entities which are designed to enhance the inner city and in situations like that. We have never had specific authorization by the legislature for a state chartered bank to make that kind of an investment. That's what this bill would permit. Under the direction of the Division of Banking, Director Richard Duncan, and the Banking Commission, which is appointed by the governor, a state chartered bank would be authorized to make that kind of an investment. If you read the bill carefully, you will note that even though permitted, the maximum investment could not exceed more than 5% of its paid-in capital and or its unimpaired surplus, absent permission from the State Banking Commission. This bill was reviewed by the South Dakota Bankers Association Legislative Committee. It's been approved by its directors. We think it is needed, and we ask for your favorable consideration of this bill. If you have questions, I'd be happy to try to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We will take questions after all proponents. Are there any other proponents? House Bill 1075.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent the Independent Bankers of South Dakota, and we're in favor of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Any other proponents? Proponents.
Mr. Chairman, Richard Duncan, Director of Banking for the state. I've reviewed the bill and discussed it. Generally support the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any questions of the proponents? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have a couple questions out of ignorance more than anything else for either Mr. Adam or Mr. Duncan. When we're talking about investments, I'm wondering if that includes loans. For example, if a property in, you know, you say inner city, and I'm just wondering where there are any in South Dakota, but if we have a property developer who's going to put up low-income modest housing in Sioux Falls, for example, and obviously is not all self-finance, building these houses on speculation, goes to his banker and gets a loan, is that included as investments, or is it simply, you know, I buy stock in low housing limited or whatever the case may be?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I can't give you book and page, Representative Olson, but currently my recollection is in the South Dakota Banking Code, a state chartered bank has a limited amount of ability to make those kinds of loans. That's been on the book for a good number of years. The bill that you were looking at was parroted almost verbatim from 29 USCA Section 24, which is a part of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation Act. And if you look at the regulations, which are quite thick, it appears that that interpretation would permit that kind of activity. It depends upon is it being purchased or is it a loan. For banking purposes, you have securities and you have loans, and they don't cross. But in either instance, it would be probably be a permissible investment, although the Banking Commission could conclude otherwise.
If I could have one more,
Mr.
Chairman. I know, for example, on the federal level, that there have been banks that have been pretty well raked over the coals because they've denied minority lenders or they haven't lent in minority areas and so forth. And I'm wondering, and you mentioned Blount, I'm wondering, are there consequences that come with this? So somebody could say, well, the bank in Blount isn't doing enough to develop the prairie or whatever the particular complaint may be. Is it a two-edged sword?
If I might again. In my earlier remarks, I generally made reference to the fact that when the CRA was first passed back in about 1993, it was one size fit all. And I had an ownership interest in the bank in Blount, and I was there when they came and examined us, and they literally walked in the door in a community of 300 or 400 persons and told us they were going to go out into the town and ask the citizens if we were doing good, and they did. And fortunately for us, everyone said you're doing very good. But it was that way, and we were scratching our heads because we are. I mean, we talk about ambulances. Our staff in the bank ride the ambulance. Our wives are the nurses. And in many of the small towns, the community bank is, in fact, the whole center of social life because of the way the thing is. But now with the advent of CRA and its aging process, a lot of social organizations which are organized, which are well-run, which are designed to provide those kind of services need financing. And they are selling bonds, and they are selling securities, taking the money, and they pay a low yield, and then they are doing what they do best. And so this would permit our larger banks, if you will, to make those kinds of investments, and they would be an accepted part of their portfolio.
Go ahead.
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. A number of our small towns, I would say, and my terminology may be correct, but are branch banks. They're not necessarily full-service banks.
Right.
Does this apply to the branch bank in that particular town or to the home governing organization as an entire entity spread out throughout the state?
It is my understanding, first of all, you have a bank which is chartered. It's either the bank or it's a branch of the bank. And for purposes of CRA, the bank and all of its branches, if it has any, are considered to be the subject of the examination. And you have to show that you are active in each of your settings, whether you're the charter location or the branch location. For our larger banks, this is a real, real issue. It gets to be extremely complicated for our holding company banks, the First Banks and the Wells Fargos and the Citibanks of the world. It's quite a thing.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. Any other questions? Representative Siebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom, can you explain to me actually what an unimpaired surplus fund is?
Well, basically, you have your capital account, and if you have kept your capital compared to, well, let me find a place to start. Small banks in the state typically you'll find have between 8% and 10% of their, the ratio would be about 8% to 10% of capital for the size of the assets. You have a $20 million bank, you probably have a couple of million dollars in capital. And in the computation of a strong bank, when I loan you a dollar, I'm probably going to put a dollar in a reserve. So I'm not going to carry that as 100%. It's just the way that the banking regulators require that. And so we're conservative in the first instance. And unimpaired just means there aren't any claims against it. I mean, it's blue ribbon stuff. It's there. You can count on it.
I guess I always thought of that as reserve type thing.
Well, it's kind of the same sort of synonyms.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. Any other questions? I hesitate to. Oh, you have another one? Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Siebert.
I think I know what I'm talking about here, but I'm not sure. When you have $250 million in assets, that doesn't include a trust account.
No, it does not. No.
Any other questions? Representative Blondra.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Adams, I know that in western South Dakota, I mean, you know, the opportunities aren't as great as they are in eastern, and we've had some banks that have had trouble with the feds and being red, you know, being classified as redlining under the CRA and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, is this going to enable those banks to fulfill the obligations that they have under the CRA in terms of without really doing anything in the community?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I think the answer has to go back to the early 1990s, and there apparently were financial institutions, primarily in large urban settings, which had in fact taken a red pencil and marked on the plat of the city, we're not going to make loans to people who live within that circle, i.e. the red line. That was the consumer groups in the United States raised Cain about that, and perhaps correctly so. As a result, the Congress listened, it passed the act. We would like to think from the community banker's perspective that at least in this part of the world, we're doing a pretty good job. I know we are trying real hard, and we have been. We are examined for it. And if we aren't showing a social conscience, we are graded. And the gradings are outstanding. There are very few of those. Satisfactory, most of us are. Needs to improve, not very many. But I don't know of any South Dakota bank that has an unsatisfactory rating. This particular bill just would permit a bank to fulfill a part of its social obligation by making these investments in XYZ not-for-profit, which is designed to go into the inner city and do something that's socially correct. That's pretty much what this bill is limited to. It would augment what we have.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Adams. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1075? Opponents? Hearing none, we'll close the public testimony, and I will make a statement here that I'm very pleased that our two resident bankers are pleasantly silent. However, we will open it up for committee discussion. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a fairness issue, and I sat here as a national banker, and the Representative Broderick sits over there as a state banker. You may have national bank or a branch of a national bank in XYZ town, and 10 miles down the road you have a state chartered bank. The state chartered bank cannot get involved in things that we have discussed here, but the national bank can. And I really don't think it's fair to restrict a bank from being more involved in helping its community. So this legislation, even though I'm from the national bank side, fits many banks in South Dakota, and I'm in favor of the legislation.
Thank you, Representative Solem. Representative Broderick.
Thank you. I will echo we don't have time. But I will support what Representative Solem has said, and I wish during my 27 years as a banker in Canton that we would have had this legislation. It would not only, we fulfilled our CRA obligations and fortunately got one of those outstandings. But if we would have had this opportunity, we could have participated in ventures that were going on within our communities and been more helpful in the communities and still maintained our lending obligations under the CRA. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Broderick. Representative Hansen.
You know, we ordinarily think that the state chartered banks are the smaller banks and the national chartered banks are the larger banks, which there's a certain amount of truth in that, but there are some very large state chartered banks and there are also some fairly small national banks. And the Community Redevelopment Act really is, like has been said, it was designed not exactly for South Dakota. We don't have very many real inner cities, and the opportunities to invest in things that are that is viewed in the eyes of the regulatory people as qualifying for meeting the expectations of community redevelopment are not always exactly what we think are the kinds of things that are most beneficial to the community, and so this just broadens the field of the things that can be picked for the state chartered banks and puts it into the same realm and makes it a little bit easier for them to be able to be and maybe to achieve that excellent status like one of our banks has. So I would strongly encourage you to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Since we are all in favor of this and no negatives, I would certainly think it would be in time for a motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Madsen.
For all of the foregoing reasons and those which are left unsaid, I move to pass.
Seconded by Representative Nisloff.
Point of order.
We didn't vote on the amendment.
We have a pending amendment.
You're right.
Correct?
Excuse me. It's been moved. All those in favor of the amendment will second by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It was seconded. Now we have a due pass motion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Madsen.
Again, do pass. Move do pass.
Second.
Do pass by Madsen and seconded by Nisloff. Second time. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Frederick?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Klimsky? Aye. Hansen?
Aye.
Madsen?
Aye.
Nisselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Belandra?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
And Canote?
Aye. That passes 13 to zip.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bagalka.
I move consent.
Second. A motion by Bagalka, seconded by Nisloff for consent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?